Let's begin with John chapter 12, verse number 26. It says this: If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. It says, there, where I am, there my servant will be also. These are, we're going to read several things which I kind of looked at myself. They're the where I am statements of Jesus, because he uses the same phrase several times. And he says, where I am, I want you to be as well. And he uses those phrases and that those words over and over again. And we're going to look at one other one in John chapter 14. It's John chapter 14 and verse number 3. Jesus speaking still. He says this: and if I go to prepare a place, or if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus has this passion for us to be where he is. He has this desire that we would be where he is. So he says it again, and we'll read one more a little later on, where he says it again, where I am, I want you to be. This was his desire. He wants us, the first one talks about here on earth, where he's talking about his servant, and he says, my servant will be with me where I am. He says, where I am, there my servant will be also. Here on earth, he wants to be with us. In this verse, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, I want to be with you here on earth. I want to be with you in heaven as well. I want to be with you, and I want you to be where I am. This is essentially the essence of Christianity. The message of Christianity, the whole purpose of what Jesus has done in our lives is that he wants to be with us. He has made a way to be with us. We don't have to go through all the difficulty of the Old Testament. He has split the veil, and now he says, I want to be with you. It is the whole point of redemption, redeeming from what has been lost and now bringing back into a reconciled relationship with God. Because his whole point was, where I am, I want you to be as well. Now, in contrast to the way many people act and live their lives, they want God to be where they are. They're happy to have God in their lives, but what they really want is God to be where they are. Meaning that they want to do what they want to do. They want to make all their own decisions. They want to go along life and do the things that they want to do. And they want God to be with them. And this is a twist of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, where I am, there you could be also. I want you to be where I am. I want you to be doing what I'm doing. I want you to see where I'm at, and I want you to do those things. And we very often are the exact opposite. We say, well, God, why can't you be with me? I want to do this. Lord, why don't you bless it? And we often pray those kinds of prayers. Bless this, Lord. Bless that, Lord. Bless what I'm doing, Lord. Even though we might have never asked him in the first place if this is what he wants us to do. We have the situation often mixed. But regardless, this is what Jesus says he wants. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be where he is. Where I am, there my servant may be also. I'm going to come and I'm going to receive you, that where I am, you may be also. He did it for here on earth, and he's preparing a place so that we can do that in heaven as well. He goes to great lengths so that we could do this. We could do this. We could achieve this. We could have this. He went to great lengths, the greatest lengths, so that we could be with him. This is the essence of what we believe, and this is the essence of all that Jesus did, was so that we could be with him. And we want to be where God is. And even in this sense, that we want to know what God is doing on earth today, and we want to be part of that. If God is moving, we want to be part of his movement. We want to be part of what God is doing today. It's easy to think back and reminisce about what he did in the past, but where he is, we will be also. That's what he wants. He wants us to be where he's at today. He doesn't want us to go where he was yesterday. He wants us to be with him where he's at, where he's moving, because God is moving throughout the earth. God is moving in various ways, and God wants us to be where he is today. It is what he wants. And the part of the reason that this is important to understand is because if we have a wrong view of God, many times it affects our relationship with God. If we have a misunderstanding of who he is and the true nature of God, it will affect our relationship with him. Let me give you an example. There's a man that I've worked with in the past. He was almost like he had two personalities. He was a very important person. He did some things that were absolutely amazing, as work standards go. I mean, really incredible stuff, beautiful things that he actually developed. I mean, it was incredible to see what he had done. And he was the only one who knew how to do these things. He was the only one. So if there was ever a question, and my group was one of the groups that was assigned to have to work with this guy. And he was very nice at times. I worked with him for probably 6 months. And through about five of the months, he was nice. You would have to go and you would have to ask him questions, because the things he did were so complicated and so not easily understood. No documents, no anything to explain anything. So you had to go to him. And through many of my meetings, he was very nice. But then there were times, there was a time that came where all of a sudden it was like a switch flipped, and he got so ornery, so mean, so nasty. And when I say nasty, it was rude, it was insulting. He would blast out emails to large numbers of people berating them. I was one of them, thank you very much. And then in meetings, he would just openly attack. And so what happened was nobody wanted to work with him. Nobody wanted to go to him, even though he was the only one that you could go to. He was the only one who had any of the answers. But nobody wanted to go, because they didn't know who was going to show up that day. Was it going to be the nice guy, or was it going to be the mean guy? Was it going to be the guy who was helpful, or the guy who insulted you? Was it going to be a guy who could get you through the day, or was it a guy that was just going to oppress you? And so nobody wanted to work with him. I told my boss, I don't want to work with the guy. But I was one of a string of like 10 people. By the time I said it, I was almost like, I hope there's somebody left that could work with this guy, because he's burned through everyone in my group. I think around 10 people at the time had worked with him. They all had the same complaint, including my boss. He said, we don't ever want to even be in the same room with this man, because he was so bad, and you just didn't know what you were going to get when you were in the same room with him. Some people treat God a little bit like this. They know the God of wrath of the Old Testament. They've seen the God of wrath. We've probably heard about the God of wrath over and over and over. Maybe our parents instilled that fear in us. Oh, God's going to get you. You know, God, well, you better watch out, because God sees, and it was always the implication. If he sees, wow, he's going to be right there with his stick. And it makes us feel like, who are we going to go? Who are we going to see today? Are we going to see the God who's angry at us? Or are we going to see the God who wants to help us? Are we going to see the God who just wants to punish us? Because let's face it, we're always in a place without the blood of Jesus, we're always in a place where we would not measure up. Always. We'll always have some sin. Either it's a sin that we've actually done something wrong, or a sin that we should have done, that something we should have done and we haven't done, and even that is a sin. So there's always a reason to be like, I don't know if I should go. I don't measure up. Of course we don't measure up. That is the whole point of the blood of Jesus, because we don't measure up. And so even with this statement, Jesus makes this bold declaration, and he tells us, I'm not the God who's going to be angry at you all the time. I am a God that wants you where I am. I want you where I am. Have you ever had it where you know you're wrong in a situation or a relationship, an earthly relationship? You know you're wrong, you know you should apologize, but you also know if you go to that person, they're not going to be that accepting of you. They're going to make you grovel a little. They're going to make it a little difficult for you. They might reject you, they might give you the cold shoulder, they might not be the warmest person. And when you know that, it just makes it harder to go to them. It just makes it all that much more difficult to say, I'm sorry. And so Jesus is telling us, you can come anytime. I want you here with me. I want you here with me. Come just as you are. Just with all of your wrong. He says, come just as you are. I want you where I am. In that first verse, it says, Jesus says, follow me. And that was basically his invitation. It was follow me. It wasn't a big, long, complicated invitation. Follow me. And notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, follow a bunch of rules. Follow a bunch of commands follow me. Just come with me. All the rest will learn. If you put these things in the right order is follow him. And then your life will work itself out. All the things, all the commands, all the rules, all the things that the Bible tells us that we should do. I'm not saying rules are wrong, because they're not. God gives us those rules for a very important reason. He gives us the things to do and not to do for a very important reason. Many times all those rules, they actually help strengthen relationships. If we break many of the rules, he tells us we shouldn't lie, and we shouldn't cheat, and we shouldn't adultery is wrong, and fornication is wrong. All these things are wrong. All of those things destroy relationships. All of those things. If you lie, people won't trust you. If you cheat, people won't trust. All of these things, they all destroy relationships. And God is about relationships. God is about loving you. God, remember the two greatest commandments, love your neighbor and love God, because he is about relationships. And that's why he says, where I am, I want you to be. This is what he tells us. He didn't say, follow my philosophy. He didn't say, the Beatitudes, that's a great thing. You know, just follow all those things. The first thing he says, follow me. And when we follow him, then we will naturally begin to follow all the things that he said. We will naturally want to follow all the things he said, because you love a person so much, you naturally want to do what makes them happy. And by doing that, he keeps us safe as well. Follow me is the thing that he says. He says, focus, or I believe the Bible is telling us, focus on relationships. Don't focus on all the rules. Don't focus on all those things, because our mind, we could be part of following Jesus, but focusing mainly on the rules. Which version of the Bible do I use? How do I dress? What do I do? How do I say? How do I pray? All of these things. And Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Be where I am. That's what we have to do. Be where he is. Because he is all about relationships. You know, when I'm not a very complicated person. I try and make things as simple as possible. When I read the Bible, I'm reading generally for one of two things. One is to be able to apply the Bible to my life. The second thing is to get to know who God is. When I read the Bible, there's great stories and there's great things. The life of David, wow, it's a great story. You can learn all the names of all the people, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But you read the Bible to know who God is, to understand who the Savior is, to understand his character, to understand his true nature. And you read the Bible so that you can apply it to the very situations in your life. These are the two main things that God has impressed on my heart for reading of the Bible, that we would know him, because as we know him, we will love him more, we will understand him more, we will run to him because we see how wonderful and how great he is. And as we read the Bible, we will see his wisdom in applying it to our lives, to our situations. And it's very real when we could do that. When he speaks a word to us, it could carry us through a difficult situation. I've just told you, I went through a season of that. There was no reason at all, humanly speaking, that there should have been any peace at all in me over this last 2 months. But God gave it. And because I knew he spoke the word, I stood in it. And he gave the grace for it. It's not because of my discipline. It's not because I have such self-control over my mind. It's because God is good and God is faithful. And he gives a word and we just stand on it. When we've done all, then we stand. When we've done all, then we stand. This is what his word tells us. And this is what we should do. We're going to go to John 17 and verse number 24. This is one of those great verses. You could preach on this verse from 10 different ways because there is so much in it. I will read it, John 17, 24. It's also on the screen. It says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. I desire that those who you gave me would be with me where I am. He wants us to be with him where he is. And what he wants to do is amazing. He wants to show us these great things. He wants to show us his glory. He wants to show us these secret things. It's like have you ever had a close friend and you get something that's this new toy, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, and you just want to show your friends. Look what I got. I got something here. It's so cool. You should see it. And Jesus, it's almost like that's the sense that I get. He wants to show us something as a friend. He's saying, you're my friend. I want you where I'm at. I'm going to even show you my glory. I'm going to show you what I got. I'm going to show you what my father... See, my father gave me something. I'm going to show it to you. My father gave me something that's so cool. I'm going to show you it. It's going to be great. I'm going to show you my glory. But you got to be where I'm at. You can't just be away. You can't just hope I'm going to be with you. Be where I'm at. I'll show you my glory. I want to be with you on earth. I want to be with you in heaven. I want to show you amazing things. The Bible in Psalms says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Those that are close to God, those that are near God, those that fear the Lord, he will show them his covenant, something that is precious, something that is life-altering. The covenant that God shares with us, he says, I want to show you. I want to show you what that is. I'll tell you my secrets. He says, I'll tell you my secrets. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he'll show them his covenant. Because God wants us to be where he's at. God wants us to be where he's at. Do you remember the story of the man that was healed at the gate beautiful? It's in Acts chapter 4. In verse number 13, Peter and John, they go to the gate. They see a man begging for alms. And then what they do is they instead of giving him alms, they reach out and the man gets healed by the power of Jesus. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 4:13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Interesting. They realized that they had been with Jesus. Even the world seen the connection between the miracles of God and being with Jesus. Even the world seen that there was a connection. The men that were against them, they couldn't say anything because the next verse it actually says, and when they seen the man that was healed standing there with him, they could say nothing. Because they seen that there's a connection. You be with him, miracles start to happen. You're with Jesus, and all of a sudden this man who's been sitting at the gate for years, maybe decades, is up. And he's around, and he's walking, and he's praising God. And they said, there's a connection here. They were with Jesus, and now look what's happening. Jesus did this, now they're doing it. There's got to be a connection. The world even seen it. The ones who were enemies of God even seen it. They said, there's got to be a connection. It's not a coincidence that he's healed, and they were with Jesus. And Jesus says, I'll teach you the secrets. I'll show you the secrets. I'll show you the secrets of the Lord. If you just fear me, if you're just with me, if you want to know my covenant, then come where I'm at. Hang out with me. Hang out with me. Spend time with me, trying to understand and get to know who I am. This is the whole walk of Christianity. There's one more place that I will turn. It's way back in Revelation. Because I told you it started out in the garden. God, I didn't tell you, but I'll tell you now. It started out in the garden. God wanted to fellowship with man. It was broken. But there was a time in Revelation where it says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. He wanted a relationship with them. In the end, in Revelation, there is a marriage that's coming. We're all marching towards a marriage. We're all marching towards this union with God, his son Jesus, and us. Revelation 21, verse 3, it says this, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the culmination of the Bible. We're reading the end, and as many people have said, you know, you want to know what's in the end, you read the end of the book, you read the last chapter. This is the point of everything that God is doing. He wants to be with us. In the end, God wants to have a people for himself. He wants to bring us into heaven with us. With him, and he wants to be our God. He wants us to be his people. And he says, why don't we start here? Why don't we start while we're here on earth? That we will be where he is. That we will be there also. God wants us. God wants us to be in that relationship with him. This is all important to him. That we would know him and that we would know his ways, and that we would know his character. And as we've heard over and over today in the testimony time, God does take care of his people. God, we know that as a history. We have this understanding throughout our lives. As we look back, we know God has been with us. And we know that God is one who is faithful to us. This is his character. We sang that song today. Great is thy faithfulness, because he is so faithful. And we could run to him no matter what state we're in, no matter where we're at. He wants us to be where he is. He is a good God, and he is a God that desires to be with us here. He wants to carry it forth into eternity, forever and ever. Be with him. And he will turn our lives around, and he can save us from any situation. And if he doesn't save us from the situation, he could save us through the situation. Because he is a good God, and this is who he is, and this is his desires. We just need to be in line with him and want the same thing, that where he is at, we might be also. His name be praised.